Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's all shit, it's all just dumb gay politics. America's gotten kinda whack, but we're not gonna let it go down like that, cause we got a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. We probably don't have all the facts, but we got opinions and we'll probably backtrack. That's why it's a dumb gay podcast, a dumb gay political podcast. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. Ooh, it's all shit, it's all shit. Are we gonna die? I don't know. You're extreme. I am extreme. It's all shit. This shit is bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S. This shit is Trumpanas. T-R-U-M-P-A-N-A-N-A-S. What? I don't know. I don't even know.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dumb Gay Politics. I'm Julie.
And I'm Brandy.
And this is the podcast where we talk about politics like we're talking about reality TV.
Happy coronavirus, everybody.
Oh, it's coronavirus.
My coronavirus. I mean.
That's right. Well, hopefully everyone is enjoying their forced pandemic vacay. I mean, at this point, all we can do is lean in, right, Meow Meow?
It's all we can do.
It's exactly what I told the young girl that works at our tanning salon who mm-hmm. informed us they were going to be closing for a week. Mm-hmm. We just said, listen, just lean in, honey. Go home and enjoy your vacay. We will take our freshly fried skin. Mm-hmm. And we will pick up some drugs and some beer on the way back to the crib, okay?
Corona. Talk about corona. We're going to get some coronas.
Yeah, that's right. My corona, baby. So Trump tested negative.
Thank God. Oh, I prayed and prayed that fearless dear leader would be safe and sound. Him and Mike Pence. Together in an embrace of non-corona negativity. Oh!
And I mean, literally, like, Kentucky, Georgia, and Louisiana postponed their primary elections. Wouldn't it be funny if we got just stuck with Trump?
It would be funny. Like if you mean, like, if in the movie it was like, whatever, like, there's a coronavirus and the pandemic and everything needs to stop, so we're going to have to keep the same president for another 4 years. Sorry, everyone.
Well, at least, yeah. Literally, where it's mm-hmm. like, we couldn't hold voting. Nobody could leave the house. No one could do anything if you leave the house. And he's just like, guess I'm going to stay president. Right. And we're like, of all the people,
and then
of all the people, you.
And that would solidify and affirm the thought that it was man-made, completely fucking done.
Exactly.
Completely Putin, completely, like, suddenly Putin, whatever.
You know what I mean? Putin.
Yeah, like, we need to
get the coronavirus out so that Trump can stay president for another 4 years, and we can ruin the economy of America, and then Russia can become, you know, a great country that's supposed to be, you know, me Putin as the great leader.
Now, driving around the streets of Burbank, because that is what we have been doing, because we had to go tan. I mean, sorry, not sorry. And Julie has been at the store every single day. And the reason she's been at the store every single day, guys, is because that's what she usually does.
The fact that I can't do my normal store time.
But you have been, haven't you?
Well, it's been ruined. I have thrown frozen cauliflower at the wall and run out pissed.
Now,
I will not stand in a line for an hour. I will not.
Certainly not for no frozen motherfucking cauliflower. It's like, buy some cauliflower and chop that shit up. So when we were traipsing around the streets of Burbank, keeping our social distance, we did peep some lines outside of gun stores.
On the same street, there's two gun stores within blocks of each other, both having lines around the corner.
Yeah.
I couldn't help myself as I drove by. I thought, I want to, like, what's going on? If you're standing in line for a gun, you have to be a person who wants to fucking spew some theories, talk some shit, get your thoughts out, be, you know what I mean?
Right.
You think you'd be a person who'd be like, this is fucked up. We're going to fucking get some hot dogs and fucking shoot some fucking people. Zombies coming to the door.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
I would.
Let's add, it's raining. If you're not just standing in line for a gun during a pandemic, you're standing in line in the rain.
Yeah. Well,
so you must really have some hardcore feelings on feeling in danger.
So I pulled over. Other people had pulled over to take pictures of the line because they're people clout like,
chasing.
Okay. So then I had to find a parking space. I parked. I crossed the street. I walked over and I just fucking went for it. And I was like, hey, everyone. Hi. Julie Goldman, Dumb Gay Politics. Is anybody just willing to like talk and like tell me your feelings about why you're here waiting to get a gun during the coronavirus?
And they were like, some pandemic dyke is like trying to interview me so hard.
Right.
I can't even deal with this. If my mom finds out I'm in this line, I'm screwed.
Exactly.
If my parole officer sees me in this line, I'm fucked.
And I was like, you're not on video. You won't be on video. It'll be completely
They probably thought
you're
holding a taser too, by the way, that fucking recorder. Were you holding it?
No, it was my phone.
Oh, perfect.
So I was like, it's just my phone. I just want to record you. You can be anonymous. You don't need to say your name. I'm just trying to figure out why you guys are, what about this virus is freaking you out to the point where you want to get a gun? Nothing, nothing, nothing. Then one lady.
Did they all just avoid eye contact?
Oh, avoid. Two people were standing there eating fucking like burgers. Like they were just like got food and were standing there eating burgers. And I was like, you two? You look like you're just fucking hanging out. What's up?
Mm-mm.
I mean, in the level.
How dare they?
They rejected me. I wanted to get a gun. I want to shoot them all.
Yeah, exactly.
So, there were two lines. There was a line.
Like this liberal. She probably wants to take away our gun rights.
Little do they know. It's like, I want to buy a gun and shoot all of you.
Right.
And by the way, I'm not against guns. Like,
no. But I mean, you look like you are physically. You know what I mean? You look like you're against guns. You're going to be against guns.
Right.
Like, they just were like, this goddamn left-wing lesbian.
I should have said, like, you guys, I'm pro-gun. I love the Second Amendment. Yeah. I love to shoot and kill.
Yeah.
Fucking yeah. If you came to my house, I'd shoot you right in the fucking head. You fucking faggots. Okay, so.
Oh, my God.
So then I was like, well, would anyone just tell me I won't record why you're here?
But then you could have secretly recorded if you were Omarosa.
Right, but it was like, these are fucking tools. I just was like,
right.
All right, fine. It's, obviously, no one's going to be hilarious here, so what's the deal? And so there were two lines, and I said, are you guys in line for the guns? And this lady was like, no, we're in line to, like,
get, like, holsters and stuff.
No, it's for the test. We're in line for the test. And I was like, like, you have to do, like, a whole, that's right, because in California, you can't just get a gun. You have to be certified in some kind of,
like... Oh, well, I never did that, and I have a gun, but I guess I brought it from out of state.
Right. If you buy a gun in California, you have to be... You have to go through a certain, like, safety... You have to, like, a written test, like a driver's license. Like, a written test, which is great.
Great.
So they were in line holding paperwork for their test. And I was like, oh, interesting. So these guys already... They're like our license. They can just get guns, and these people had to, like, get the license for the gun.
She's like, we're going to get in that line, like, right afterward.
Right. So I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, what made you want to then? So you've never had a gun. So why do you want a gun right now? What's the problem going on? She's like, I was like, I'm not recording you. You want to, you can just, what, just for my own, for our show, we can, we're going to tell everyone in the world they should get a gun. Why should they get a gun? Yeah, because of panic. Because of panic? Yeah. Uh-huh. Because of what panic? Well, like, you know, panic. Like, I was like, you mean like because you went to the supermarkets and stuff and you were scared? Yeah. Okay. Got it. It was like, that's how deep it was to pull the teeth to get one asshole
right.
to tell me why they were there. So I left and I thought, first of all, I hate everybody in that line because they wouldn't talk to me. However...
Well, you just had no answers is the bottom line. And it's unfortunate because
no answers.
They have the opportunity to enlighten people who are driving by going, what a bunch of fucking Neanderthal assholes. And then when you're like, we're doing this panic to ourselves, and you're like turning it because they were assholes to you, so that makes you be assholes to them or about them, rather than us all having some understanding.
I went like in and you, I went in trying to get understanding.
Yeah, of course. And they didn't offer you any. And no. It's like, the thing is, that's even the thing with like the missing toilet paper, let's say.
Okay.
Everybody is fucking needs to make fun of the empty toilet paper aisle. You know what I mean? Everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to be like, this is fucking ridiculous. Right. This is fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
And everybody claims, you won't meet one person, just like those motherfuckers standing in the gun line. They won't be the ones that will be like, oh, yeah, hell yeah, I got a gun. I contributed to the hysteria. They will be the exception to the rule. You know what I mean? Just like her. She's not going to tell you why, because they don't believe they're part of the panic by standing in the line,
right,
you know, perpetuating the panic. But my theory on the empty drugstore aisles, particularly of the toilet paper.
Yes.
Toilet paper is the only thing in the entire store that everybody uses.
Right.
So unless you got a colostomy bag, and if you do, I'm sorry, you use toilet paper. Now, I didn't see a fucking lack of tampons, and I stood in that aisle for a good 10-15 while we were on the phone. Uh-huh. And there were plenty of tampons to go around.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, that's not something even every woman uses. You know what I mean? But every single human being uses toilet paper. Here's my theory, and it is good. In fact, it's so good, it's not a theory. Here's the reason why this is happening.
Okay.
So everybody can fucking...
Let me get my pad and paper
exactly
out. Hold on.
People need to start publishing this now. And if okay. you do, give me the credit. At least annotate, okay? So here's the deal. It's the only thing in the grocery store that we all, every single human being uses.
Okay.
One. Now, I have not met one single, one, I haven't seen one single fight. Now, I've only been to one store, but I haven't, I mean, I've been to multiple stores, but I only did it one day when I was looking for toilet paper.
Yes.
I haven't been back multiple days.
Right.
I didn't see a single fight. No. Probably the rudest person in the whole store was me, because that's how I act in the store all the time. I'm just keeping it consistent. I find it annoying. I don't want one other person even in the store. This is me and you. This is how we are. So there are two types of toilet paper shoppers.
Okay.
And store shoppers. Okay.
Go
Everybody
on,
listen
go
up.
On, go
you
on.
Can pick which category you fall into. Okay. Now, it also does sort of vary by city, because there's people who walk home every single day, like in New York, and they fucking pass a bodega or whatever and they pop in. That's like New York living.
Okay.
Most people don't live like that. So in general, in America, there's two types of fucking shoppers.
Okay.
There are people such as yourself.
Yes.
Who love to go to the store every single day.
You love it.
You will find a reason to go to the store. You like shopping. Going to a grocery store makes you feel safe. You also love popping into things such as gas stations, 7-Elevens, Starbucks, places that have beverages, car wash stores.
Love.
You love going in, buying little things like that in stores, looking around in the drinks. It makes you feel like you are
alive.
Western civilization, a person with money, an adult, free to be you and me, living your best life.
Yes. All of that is true.
Yes, and you do it every day.
Pretty much.
Now, when you go into a store, you don't like it because it's not your safe place.
Nope.
There's too many beverages missing. You don't get to choose. There's aisles that are empty. You start to feel you're not in your safe space.
I'm in a very unsafe place.
Right.
There's too many people. There's long lines.
Right.
People's carts are overflowing.
Yeah.
There's a panic in the air and a terrible energy.
Okay, that's true. And there should be, because there's a fatal virus going around. So it's perfectly normal for people to be a little stressed out.
Yes.
So then the other type of shoppers are people like me.
Mm.
I'm someone who lets a list pile up until I lose the list and have to redo it. And the list gets so long where I'm like, if I keep letting this list get long, I'm going to end up having to go to two stores, and I don't want to fucking deal with that. So I'm the kind of person that will only go to the store once a month. So when I go, my shit be expensive, dog. Like, I will have meat and lotion in my shit. I'll be doing all that. I got all the sundries. I got all the food. Okay. What happened was, when they're like, oh, you need to stay home, people, all the people who go to the grocery store and the store every day, like you, you still did your normal thing where you went to the store. You went to the same store that you go to. You went every day you go to the store. But now you got all the people like me who only go once a month who go, oh, shit. They want us to stay home. Ugh, I got to go get my list.
Right.
Because I got to stay home now and I don't have fucking toilet. I literally did not have toilet paper. I left for Australia and was like, I got one roll of toilet paper. And by the way, I pushed that because I didn't even go until like a week after we like. Or maybe it wasn't like that. Maybe I had two rolls. Either way, I hadn't gone shopping for toilet paper from since we got home from Australia. So it was like.
That's dire.
Yeah. It I was. Don't... I needed toilet paper.
Yeah.
So everybody who goes every day went. And then everybody who only goes once a month went. They're all going. Everybody needs to go to the store. That's why. And then every time everyone goes to the store, they're getting toilet paper because they need it.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't. By the way, everyone hoards toilet paper. When people are like, people are hoarding toilet paper, there's a line at Costco. I'm like, well, anytime there's a human being in Costco, that person is a hoarder of everything. They have 14 fucking toothpaste. They have 14 fucking paper towels. The only people shop at Costco are professional hoarders.
Right.
So, and every time I buy toilet paper, I hoard it because I don't want to fucking have to buy it every week. So I literally have like, it's this. They don't even sell it to you little. You got to walk with this big
well,
thing.
Well, yeah, I want my one big package.
Right.
But when people are, the problem is that people are in the supermarket buying four big packages.
Did you see anyone do that?
I did not see
You did
that.
Not.
I did not.
And no one
I
did.
I just didn't.
No one saw anyone do
see,
that.
I didn't see anyone buying toilet paper because okay. It was already all gone.
That's right. And the thing is, if you really think about it, if you look at the aisles of toilet paper, they're usually those big packages, and it's fucking annoying. Mm-hmm. When I walk to the store, I'm like, I don't want to carry that home. It's fucking embarrassing, and it's, mm-hmm. like, annoying, and it's cumbersome. I want to just get a four-pack. They don't do that shit no more. Now, the most of the time when you go to the store, it's big mega rolls, and you got to get stuck with the big one. And I think people, yeah, they bought it so they didn't have to buy it again. And grocery stores restock every day. So I think that we should all try to, one, not be mad at people. Listen, be mad at the people you already didn't like. I think we should try to act with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't yourself seen, and I'm not just talking about that one idiot who had 50,000 things of fucking hand sanitizer in his garage.
That motherfucker.
And he's one person. He's probably not even real. He's probably a fake Russian troll picture that got created to have everybody be like, fucking mad. We're all mad at each other, like, fucking quit hoarding toilet paper. And everybody loves to go on Twitter and be like, I need to wipe my own ass. And I'm like, why are we all mad at each other? Everybody needs toilet paper. Who cares? This is fun. And look around. There is
fun.
Yeah, there's going to be toilet paper. And like, go be mad at fucking your boss or whoever you fucking hate at work. But looking around at other people who are scared or stressed out and being like, how dare they buy toilet paper when you yourself are there buying toilet paper.
Right.
Yeah, I was annoyed that literally I went to four stores. But that's because I don't even want to go to one store.
Right.
So ultimately, I had to buy recycled toilet paper from Gelson's for like $950. And I was like, I'll take it. The thing is, I was also there buying toilet paper. So they just did what I did. They just beat me to it.
Right.
So what are we mad about? So I'm saying, let's all be in it together and be mad at people who are rich. Now it's time for Eye of the Shitstorm.
You take some shit, put it up on the wall, check it out for a while. You take that shit up off of the wall, put it down on the floor in a glass bowl. You take some buck, put it up on the wall where the shit used to be.
All right, well, the coronavirus is the biggest shitstorm we've ever had on this podcast, and it's arguably the biggest shitstorm America has faced since 9/11. And similar to 9/11, less than 1% of the population are actual victims. Yet the entire country is royally fucked because the Republican-run government got caught with their dicks out.
If you're alive and you're listening to this podcast, then you know the deal. Literally, the entire world has been infected with some man-made virus in order to do what? Who knows? Conspiracy theories abound, and ultimately, whether it was the five banks that hold all of the world's money, or Russia, or Iran, or even our own goddamn country that did this shit, it's happening, and we all just need to mind our own little microcosms and try not to get angry or turn on the other people who are just trying to mind their own little microcosms, such as people shopping for toilet paper, mm-hmm. people buying guns. Mm-hmm. We got to just let people feel safe. If you feel mm-hmm. safe going to Ralph's every day, even though they've told you not to do that, if I feel safe going getting my vitamin D at the mm-hmm. tanning salon, even though that's clearly something we shouldn't do, then we have to let people shop for guns, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
This is my feeling on it, okay? All of us regular weed people need to stick together. If you're mad or scared, direct that shit at the government. This is their goddamn fault. Or direct it at people you already hated, like your boss or the principal at your kid's school or your Republican father who believes half the federal budget should go to the military when the true wars we should be preparing for are biological wars and digital warfare.
Exactly. And here we are again choosing between old white men for president who are worried about tanks and missiles and nukes, while North Korea has a basement filled with Asian nerds ready to hack our entire power grid with the push of a button. But the bottom line with the coronavirus is that it is dangerous in two ways. There's the urgent pressing health concern of contracting the actual virus, and then there's the urgent pressing financial concern of how to manage our lives and pay our motherfucking goddamn motherfucking fuckface bills. Many people are out of work without pay, and many of the people who can still go to work have kids that can't go to school and no one to watch them. There isn't really anyone that isn't up a shit's creek in one way or another, and it's goddamn stressful.
It really is. Like, literally, we had the TV on pause, and of course it's some fucking dumb annoying ad for HBO that has, like, the people from Westworld up, and Julie's like, points it at, it's like four people on Westworld.
It was The Rock, oh. Westworld, Curb, and, oh, it was Outlander, I think.
So it was like Evan Rachel Wood, The Rock, somebody from Curb and someone from Outlander. And Julie goes, all of them have it. All of them have it. And I look and I go, what do you mean? They all have coronavirus? And she goes, no, they all have money and they're not stressed out. And I was like, exactly. That's exactly what we're dealing with here. It's like, so even though you might think, oh, they have money and they're not stressed out, at the end of the day, they're probably stressed out that they're going to get fucking coronavirus.
Right.
And so good. There is nobody that's exempt from this. Not even annoying ass fucking Rita Wilson. When did she become the most annoying person on the planet?
On the planet.
She's so annoying.
Can I just tell you that Rita Wilson.
Yes.
I need to tell you this.
Okay.
Rita Wilson tweeted she wanted to name her coronavirus playlist.
Yeah.
So she wanted to call it Quarantine Choruses.
Did she take that down? Because I feel like that's very tone deaf. What a fucking tool. She should have named it I'm a fucking tool. It's just funny that Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson got it in Australia like days after Julie and I get home from Australia. And they're like, whatever you do, stay off of cruises. And I'm like, have we done everything wrong? I mean, quite frankly, we've been in China in the last year. Like, what are the chances?
I mean, and I was even supposed to go on a cruise next week that up until a day ago, they were going, but it's been canceled.
Yeah, Julie's been watching her money steadily dissolve and disappear.
Yeah, it's gone.
So
yep.
It's
crazy.
It's pretty like
it's crazy.
I mean, outrageous. Our side hustles, our hustles have disappeared. But it's like, let's start with the first branch of the coronavirus stress. The actual
virus.
So there's been 3,300 cases around there nationwide and 65 deaths.
Okay.
Trump put Mike Pence in charge of the fucking, you know, coronavirus task force.
I mean, if that wasn't them, if I have a conspiracy theory thinking Trump worked with Putin to get the coronavirus going, or even maybe with the Chinese president too. Let's say the three of them are together. They're in a room. They're like, what are we going to do? We got to fucking get rid of Pence. I need a lady VP. Also, like, I want to stay president for like at least 25 more years. Let's thin out some of the pop. Let's like get money going into the banks. Let's get money going into me. Let's get money going into you.
Yeah, right.
Let's get money going into pharma for sure. Mm-hmm. Let's get the vaccine. That's going to cost money. All the medical equipment. That's totes going to cost months.
Oh, let's privatize the makeshift hospitals. Like we do the border things and then we'll make money on that.
Yep. Okay, great. So then virus is out. Mike Pence, let's cross fingers. They're saying like, oh, he's totes going to get it. Then he's going to die.
Or he's going to fucking shit the bed.
Shit the bed. And then we're going to get fucking Nina Totina in there.
Nikki Haley
in there. And we're going to win the election because it's going to be woman to woman, man to man, blah, blah, blah.
They definitely let knowing good goddamn full well they didn't have no tests, no beds,
right?
No labs, no nothing.
No nothing.
They sent Mike Pence and his Bible right out there,
exactly,
to look like he had egg all over his face.
That's right,
and he sure does.
Him and Elizabeth Hasselbeck can pray all day long to not get the coronavirus or whatever, and they can. Good luck to you both. Good luck to you both.
So, I believe they're hiding. Dumpling, you have dingleberries. You have coronavirus dingleberries. Let's keep it moving. The first thing they said was that it was the fucking flu. We can blame that on Mike Pence and Trump. That it was like, it was basically the flu. It wasn't a big deal.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And you know, half the people, like more than half, like Julie and I are basically, we're like the dipshits that were standing in the room in 9/11 when our boss was like, go back to your desk. And we're like, okay, this is no big deal. I'm so lazy. I don't want to take the stairs either. Me either. Come on, let's go get a coffee. Let's go get a Keurig. And we go, and we get killed.
Right.
Now, that's us. The rest of the people, when they say this is a flu, they're like, uh-uh, honey, you're not going to fucking catch me out here fucking going back to my desk. Right. This ain't no flu. You aren't fucking cutting off shit to China because it's the flu. So those people were way ahead of us.
If you put in what is coronavirus, right?
And they're which like, everyone has.
Right. And it's like, if you experience shortness of breath and blah, 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 then that's when you need to like get on tiddly-doo to the doctor.
Turns out, sweetie, your lungs explode and you suffocate on your own blood and it's slow and painful. And they don't want us to know really how you get it or what it does to you.
But the question about the sort of underlying public health strategy behind some of these guidelines, telling people to avoid restaurants and bars is a different thing than saying that bars and restaurants should shut down over the next 15 days. So why was it seen as being imprudent or not necessary to take that additional step off of that additional guidance?
Well, I think we have to say the data that has been coming out, and I'm sure you're all up to date on how long the virus lives on hard surfaces. And that has been our concern over the last 2 weeks.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So she starts to answer it.
There's an answer to that.
And he interrupts her, the doctor.
Go ahead, Tony. He was my mentor, so I'm going to have to let him speak.
Oh, he's clearly a dick.
The small print here.
The small print.
In states with evidence of community transmission, bars, restaurants, food courts, gyms, and other indoor and outdoor venues where groups of people congregate should be closed.
He reads the small print off of a fucking printed out piece of paper that the journalist could have read. That's not his question.
No.
His question wasn't, what should we do with food courts in states where there have been community transmissions? No. He's like, why did you go from recommending we stay away to... what was, and she was about to say, like, we understand it can live on hard surfaces fucking for 3 weeks.
Right.
That's the reason we literally were like, get the cruises off the fucking ocean now and get those people out of those, off those cruise ships.
Right. That's why they're saying, like, when you wear gloves, it doesn't really matter because it will live on the glove. The only thing that's stopping the spread of this or whatever is disinfectant and staying away from people, because even if you have a mask or if you have gloves, if you touch the coronavirus on a table or on a handle with a glove, it's on the glove.
Yeah, exactly.
So it doesn't, your masks, your gloves, your whatever are not helping anything.
Yeah.
And the only people who should be wearing gloves and masks are people who work in hospitals because of just to be sanitary. I mean, basically at this point.
Yeah. There's a global pandemic happening and you printed out one piece of paper front and back. That's the guidelines. That's the guidelines.
Right.
The bottom line is the government did not prepare for biological warfare. And the question really is why. Motherfucker used a military budget to build a useless border wall, yet he cut funding to the Center for Disease Control. That's a fact.
I'm speechless. Honestly, I'm speechless.
Yeah.
Speechless.
Yeah.
Even now, it's like, I'm glad that you cut the interest rate and all this bullshit, but what does that have to do with getting ventilators to hospitals and making sure that this doesn't spread or getting a cure?
Yeah. Well, they say they're doing it now. I personally believe, like, you know, we're all going to be back at it at least 80% of the way in a week.
Hope so. I hope you're right.
So then we got the financial branch of the stress.
I mean, I think that on a very personal level, we can say that we feel it. And we understand this is probably the thing that at least I know that I or we can understand the most. People that are laid off, people that are have work canceled, people that were told not to show up to work.
It's crazy what the amount of money and the amount of industries that have been massively hit. On Sunday, they announced that they cut the federal interest rate to 0%. And if you think that means your credit card payment will go down, think again.
It won't.
But we did hear that you can call up maybe your credit cards and they'll and so that you don't have to pay your payments for 1 month.
Yeah, you 100% can if you have any trouble or if you're like freaking out, like you can't pay your utility bill or any kind of bill. If you call them now, and I don't know if they're all going to be like this, but I think at this point, pretty much everyone's going to be willing to work with you.
The stock market had the biggest crash since Black Monday, which was in the 80s. So, you know, it's just they eased regulation on lending. So the banks are free to give money basically to anyone. Mm. And then when this is over and those people can't make their payments because they never would have qualified for those kinds of loans in the first place, the banks will then sell those loans to other banks at insanely high interest rates. And then we'll all be back to where we started, but with more debt. Literally, on all the information that you look at, it's like, we eased regulations on banks so that they can lend to households and businesses that get it, that can't work and get in trouble. I'm like, lend us money? Why would we want to fucking borrow money? I don't want it to get into more debt so that I can pay the mortgage. They're loaning money so we can pay them. We don't want loans. Why don't you freeze mortgages? If you freeze mortgages, which then would freeze rents, so everybody doesn't have to at least pay that.
Right.
That's what you should do. That's what they should do. And it's beyond that they're loaning us money to pay them. I don't want you to loan me money so I can give it back to you. And now you're charging me interest that you're already charging me on my mortgage anyway.
It's so crazy how they make it sound like they're trying to do us some sort of great favor or some kind of like incredible generous gift, when in actuality it's drilling another asshole into my asshole.
Exactly. Money 20 just turned into shitty 20.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Now it's time to deep dive into the last Democratic debate.
When you're running for the White House and you want to get ahead, you got to get attention or else your campaign's dead. Iowa, New Hampshire, it's always been your dream. And it might work out, just don't become a meme. Don't become a meme. You gotta keep your image clean. Don't become a meme. Some things can be unseen. Everything you do ends up on YouTube. Everything you do ends up on YouTube. Don't you know that everything you do ends
Everything you do ends up on YouTube. Keep this in your hair. Don't ever try to speak Spanish if you don't know how.
El hombre del pelequín.
All right. Woo! Last Sunday, CNN partnered with Telemundo to hold the last Democratic primary debate between Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, and featuring special guest, the coronavirus. Oh, coronavirus, you look so good.
Coronavirus?
Yes, it's me, coronavirus. Hello, nice. It's me, coronavirus.
So for this debate segment, we pulled the clips and highlights that we found the most interesting or relevant. There are tons of things we couldn't include in the interest of time, so we apologize in advance if your favorite part from your favorite candidate doesn't get the attention it deserved. We also want to apologize in advance if we float an opinion about your favorite candidate that upsets you. We recommend leaving us a hate note on our Patreon page, or better yet, leave us a bad review on iTunes. A bad review is still a review, and we need to get our numbers up if we want to make $1 during this goddamn disease.
I hope during the coronavirus time, during this time, that everyone's triggers become a little less. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Maybe ease up on your trigs. So the first topic up for discussion was, of course, the special guest, coronavirus. Now, a lot of the shit with coronavirus was very repetitive and also very vague. So we just tried to pick the clips where they answer the questions and give the most information. And then later, when they get into non-pandemic related issues, they start arguing back and forth about their past voting records. And at that point, it just became a total shit show. So we didn't even want to deal with any of it.
At this point, half the country has already voted. But if you're in the half that hasn't voted yet and you still don't know who you want out of these two, hearing them argue about the Hyde Amendment isn't going to help your decision, okay? So the only thing that could really turn the tables right now is if they announced who their running mates would be. And though this debate does get close, we aren't going to hold our breath on them announcing any names.
Okay, so the first clip that we're going to play is Bernie Sanders answering the question of what he would do as president to save Americans' lives during this horrible coronavirus pandemic.
Senator Sanders, this morning, Dr. Anthony Fauci acknowledged that it's possible that hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Americans, could die from the coronavirus in a worst-case scenario. If you were president right now, what's the most important thing you would do tonight to try to save American lives?
Well, first thing we have got to do, whether or not I'm president, is to shut this president up right now, because he is undermining the doctors and the scientists who are trying to help the American people. It is unacceptable for him to be blabbering with unfactual information, which is confusing the general public. Second of all, what we need to do, and I'm glad that he has called a state of national emergency, what we have got to do is move aggressively to make sure that every person in this country finally understands that when they get sick with the coronavirus, that all payments will be made, that they don't have to worry about coming up with money for testing. They don't have to worry about coming up with money for treatment. This is an unprecedented moment in American history. Now, I obviously believe in Medicare for all. I will fight for that as president. But right now, in this emergency, I want every person in this country to understand that when you get sick, you go to the doctor. When you get sick, if you have the virus, that will be paid for. Do not worry about the cost right now, because we're in the middle of a national emergency. Second of all, to make sure that our hospitals have the ventilators that they need, have the IC units that they need. Right now, we have a lack of medical personnel, and I worry very much that if there is a peak, whether we have the capability of dealing with hundreds of thousands of people who may be in hospitals. So we need unprecedented action right now to deal with the unprecedented crisis. And bottom line, from an economic point of view, what we have got to say to the American people, if you lose your job, you will be made whole. You're not going to lose income.
If but Trump how?
Well, that's lies.
Or the Fed,
I mean,
can put
you can say it.
Fully lies.
Into the banking system, thank we you, can Senator. Protect the wages of every worker in America.
Thank you, Senator. Vice
That's just not true. So, I mean, not for nothing, it's a nice thought, and I think his heart's in the right place, but that is literally untrue. I'm not going to get the wages.
But he's saying that's what he would do.
Which I also believe is not true. I believe that he, as president, would be unable to get every wage.
He doesn't say how.
Right.
He tells all these things. We need to do this. We need to be aggressive. We need to do this. But he doesn't say how.
Right. And I don't believe that there would be a way for him, and certainly not the 4 years that he's president, to, if something like this happened, to get every worker who, I mean, every wait staff, every performer, everyone who missed a gig to get that money. That's just not possible.
Right.
It's just not true. So, you know, as much as we love Bernie, and that is a nice thought, and maybe that's how it should be.
Right.
It's just not going to happen, and it's not realistic.
Well, even if they did what Mitt Romney copied Andrew Yang and said, oh, let's send every American $1,000, that's not going to make up for the $5,000 you lost for the cruise. And that's just right. This month. You know what I mean? People aren't going to get every wage that they lost.
There's no way.
You're not going to pay the pilots whatever they lost right. when their planes were grounded, you know? Okay, so then they ask Biden a question regarding coronavirus.
And our Vice President Biden, President Trump says he does not take any responsibility for the problems with coronavirus testing, in part because, he says, he inherited so many rules, regulations, and red tape. Did bureaucratic red tape hamper this response in any way?
No, look, the World Health Organization offered the testing kits that they have available and to give it to us now. We refused them. We did not want to buy them. We did not want to get them from them.
Mike Pence wanted
to make sure we had our own. I think he said something like, we have the best scientists in America.
He did say that.
Something to that effect.
Trump said that.
The idea that we are not prepared for this and not. And the other thing I want to point out, and I agree with Bernie, we're in a situation where we have to now be providing for the hospitals that are going to be needed now. The present system cannot handle the surge that is likely to come. So we should already be sitting down and planning where we're going to put these temporary hospitals. And we can do that. We did that. We've been through this before with the coronavirus. We've been through this before. We've been through this before with dealing with the viruses that the N1H1 finds, as well as what happened in Africa. We provided these hospitals dealing with these great pandemics, and we were able to do it quickly, and people would have a place to go. But we also have to provide the equipment to protect the first responders. And that's not being done either.
Well, the bottom line is, aside from Joe Biden's grandpa moments, supposedly it's a hot take that in Vanity Fair just released an article that Trump is super pissed off at Jared Kushner because Jared Kushner is the one who said, don't just treat this as a PR thing. The first time Trump addressed coronavirus, he said, don't declare a national emergency because the markets will tank. And he went out there and he acted like it's fine and everything's, blah, blah, it's not, it's just like the flu, it's no big deal. Did exactly what Jared Kushner said to do, and the markets tanked anyway on Thursday. And then he had to come out on Friday and declare the national emergency. And so it's just snowballed. And then they did the NBA and it just all was happening around him. And he's like, fuck, he looks like the douche because he is one. And so then those cases started popping up at Mar-a-Lago and he was like, oh shit, that's why we need someone that knows what they're doing, and we don't need Jared Kushner and his fucking convict father and his brother and Carly dumbfuck Kloss making decisions when we're all gonna probably die.
Their decision making is based solely, now not to say that politicians aren't corrupt and all this shit, but their decision making is based solely on the money that they personally are making. And that's why this is happening.
Yep. Don't do it because the markets will the markets will crash and the markets will tank and then I'll lose my money.
Yes, that's because they're not worried about people working at McDonald's. They're not in the market.
No.
Like, or people working at a factory or people.
Oh, and I'm quite sure Jared Kushner, he probably was like, okay, give it 2 days and I'll buy up all the labs. So then they ask Bernie a question about how he would ensure that every American gets treatment.
Senator Sanders, note, and you both of you have addressed this, but obviously another major health concern right now for officials is the potential surge in patients all at once, overburdening hospitals, the healthcare system. You've mentioned ICU beds, both of you, and ventilators. We're already in the middle of flu season, so already a lot of those beds and ventilators are already being used. If you were president right now, what would you do
to make sure every sick
American is able to get treatment so the U.S. does not suffer the same fate as Italy, where doctors have to decide right now who gets life-saving treatment and who does not?
Jake, let's be honest and understand that this coronavirus pandemic exposes the incredible weakness and dysfunctionality of our current healthcare system. Now, we're spending twice as much per person on health care as the people of any other country. How in God's name does it happen that we end up with 87 million people who are uninsured or underinsured, and there are people who are watching this program tonight who say, I'm not feeling well. Should I go to the doctor? But I can't afford to go to the doctor. What happens if I am sick? It's going to cost thousands of dollars for treatment. Who's going to feed my kids? We are the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all people. We're spending so much money, and yet we are not even prepared for this pandemic. How come we don't have enough doctors? How come hospitals in rural areas are shutting down? How come people can't afford?
Who are you asking that to? Jake Tapper or
bunch of crooks who are running the pharmaceutical industry, ripping us off every single day? And I'll tell you something right now: in the midst of this epidemic, you got people in the pharmaceutical industry are saying, "Oh wow, what an opportunity to make a fortune!" So the word has got to go out. I certainly would do this as president. You don't worry, people of America, do not worry about the cost of prescription drugs. Do not worry about the cost of the health care that you're going to get, because we are a nation, a civilized, democratic society. Everybody, rich and poor, middle class, will get the care they need. The drug companies will not rip us off.
Again, a nice thought.
It is a nice thought. And he did just make the same point that I made about who's profiting. But I disagree that we know that the healthcare system is fucked, but I disagree that it's coronavirus that is highlighting that. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, to me, what it's highlighting is our mistake in our military spending. Mm-hmm. And we aren't focusing on our defense budget, on defending this country from biological warfare, mm-hmm. and from technological warfare. And best believe, like Julie said, there is a basement of Asian nerds sitting up in North Korea who took down Sony in a fucking heartbeat. And right. they can literally put out the fucking power grid in. They could fucking put the power grid out in Simi Valley. You know what I mean? In a non even important city, and it would fuck. Do you help? Fucking much that would fuck just one major city, though.
Yep.
And it's like they have the capability to do that, but no, we're dumping money into defense and things that are just, it's 80s technology. I'm sorry, we're like fighting dudes in caves. That's not the fucking issue here, you know. It just, to me, that's what coronavirus is highlighting. We're misspending our defense budget. I'm not saying we need to take it away and be like, we need bridges and roads, and that's fine. And I want all those things, but I'm not like the biggest fan of free college. I'm like, but we don't want to take money away from the military, but I want defense spending to be spent right. And it's being right. misspent. Right. And that is what this highlights right. to me.
Right. Mm. Agreed. Okay. Well, this next clip actually has Biden agreeing with you. He is basically highlighting that this is not about the healthcare system.
That has nothing to do when you're in a national crisis. The national crisis says we're responding. It's all free. You don't have to pay for a thing. That has nothing to do with whether or not you have an insurance policy. This is a crisis. We're at war with the virus. We're at war with the virus. It has nothing to do with copays or anything. We just passed a law saying that you do not have to pay for any of this, period.
I like when he gets firm. I do have to be honest with Eric.
Yeah.
This is not about any, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he gets like, you know, yeah. I like it. Anyway, yeah, he's saying this is not about healthcare, Bernie. This is about something completely different. And also it's like a crisis and we're responding and blah, blah, blah. This is defense.
And it's not to say that, like, yeah, that the healthcare system isn't broken and we understand and we know, but it's not necessarily like having anything to do with this particular
people not having enough tests and beds and ventilators isn't about a broken healthcare system.
Right.
It's about a broken response to a biological warfare right. system.
Oh, so now they kind of, they get into a little bit of like a little
tiff.
Yeah, a little tiff, a little debate, if you will.
Yeah. When they debate, it's finally, it's like, good God, finally some debating.
Yeah. We cut out like a ton of the debating because it really just got to the point where it
yes.
was.
Well, there's a point where it's just sort of like, well, you did this in the past.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, a lot of it is about the past. And I'm just, for me personally, I'm like, That's why Israel and Palestine is where they are, and I'm not about to live that life anymore. So
they asked Bernie a question about, he voted against bailing out the banks in 2008. There was that whole financial crisis, which at first was what this was being compared to with the coronavirus, which now it's like, this is like basically the Great Depression and people are going to be jumping off buildings. But whenever they gave Goldman Sachs and all those fucking people the bailouts, Bernie voted no. And a lot of these industries are going to need bailouts now, not even... like we're, like we said, the travel industry, and it's going to be, you know, next level. So they want to know, was he going to be willing to bail out some of these industries?
I did. You're quite right. I voted against the bailout because I believe that the illegal behavior being done by the people on Wall Street should not be rewarded by a bailout. And today, by the way, those banks are more prosperous and own more assets, and by and large, than they did back then. They're bigger now than they were then. I thought at the time that in the midst of massive income and wealth inequality, the people on top who were surtaxed on the very wealthy should bail out. And it's not just the TARP bailout. We gave trillions of dollars in zero interest loans to large banks. But to answer your question, where we are right now, we need to stabilize the economy, but we can't repeat what we did in 2008. Joe voted for that, I voted against it. Because we have got to do more than save the banks or the oil companies. Our job right now is to tell every working person in this country, no matter what your income is, you are not going to suffer as a result of this crisis of which you had no control.
Vice President,
have those banks all gone under, all those people Bernie says he cares about would be in deep trouble. Deep, deep trouble. All those little folks, we'd have gone out of business. They'd find themselves in a position where they would lose everything that they had in that bank, whether it was $10 or $300 or a savings account. This was about saving
the economy.
I like
that he said that amount of money, too.
Yeah, save the economy.
We've all had that amount of money in there.
And they paid back with interest. I agree with Bernie. Some of them should have gone to jail. That was the big disagreement I had in terms of bailing out. But the question was, they paid back. In addition to that, it also, part of that was bailing out the automobile industry, saving thousands of jobs, tens of thousands of jobs over time. He voted against that as well.
No. I did not vote against that. That bailout money was used later on by Bush to protect the automobile industry. But here's the point. Bush. One minute. Here's the point here. Is that in terms of that bailout, there are ways that you can bail out. When you have a handful of people who have incredible wealth, who have prospered off of the illegal behavior of individuals, in this case on Wall Street, you know what you say to them? I said this to the Secretary of Treasury. You want to bail out? That's fine. You have your friends pay for it, not working people. The other point is, as Joe should know, it wasn't just the $700 billion TARP program. The Fed gave trillions and trillions of dollars in zero interest loans to every financial institution in this country and central banks all over the world. That was essentially a grant because they then could sell that. They can then bring in interest rates much greater than the zero interest loans that they got.
Yeah, that's not fucking cool.
Right, which is the point you made earlier.
Yeah, and that's not cool. And Bernie's 1,000% right. Now, it's not Biden's fucking fault, right. But we all knew in Goldman Sachs. I mean, it's like not even just that your last name's Goldman, but it's just like, ugh, I never just got that taste out of my mouth about Goldman Sachs and their fucking bullshit. And then I hated how Steve Mnuchin dad like was the main guy at Goldman Sachs. And I was just like, fuck you getting that bailout money. Yeah. And he's right. Yeah. Go have Bloomberg bail them out then. Mm-hmm. Bloomberg, who made all that fucking money off them, or any people with billions and billions, $100 billion, go have them bail them out.
I wonder what Tom Steyer and Mike Bloomberg are doing during this crisis, if they're going to help people with their money, or are they going to just keep buying ads on TV?
It's sickening. Why Elizabeth Warren. Okay.
Yeah.
So then basically it was all fighting, voting record, blah, blah, blah. I didn't like it, but that's because Elizabeth Warren wasn't there, and I like them both. And so I'm just like, at this point, I'm like, I feel like we win either way. I really do. So I'm just like, whatever. But if you like fighting and like seeing debates, then you should go Google it and you should go watch it. Mama likes a good raucous debate.
I do.
So
I like a debate, and I particularly want a debate on the thing. I don't, you know what? That's why I enjoy people who fight about pro-life, pro-choice, because now you're getting into like shit you can't even, we can get into a fight about fucking magic, because at that point,
right,
you can't have a conversation about it. So let's just fucking blow air out of our mouths.
Right, exactly.
And it's enjoyable to me.
At this point in the debate, they fake Skyped in questions from voters. Ugh. And this one asshole, dumb fuck, came on asking about what they would do if they were president to highlight women's issues.
Hi, my name is Kim Cattrall Myers Weinberg. I'm a law professor, jaundiced Maricopa, and at Fordham Phi Steen University. Tenured 14 years. I have three kids. A husband named Rick, and his friends, both Steve and Barry, are good friends of ours. Well, I'd like to know, women are the canaries inside of the coal mining system. They chirp and sing and twirl, many times covered in soot, raped, and then forced to have children that they never wanted to anyway. I have five. Fucking Rick.
I thought you had three.
Three, I mean, yeah. Two were, you know, boarded. And no, you know what I God. Mean. Yeah. And that's horrible. Anyway, so as an educated, very educated woman as myself, who used to be probably more attractive at some times than others in my life. That. Well, I'm just saying I'm for my own self. I like to express peak. To me. Yeah, you know, I've felt better at some times than I have other times. right now, I'm going through something. I'm not sure what exactly, as most women do in their lives. American women. American women go through and are the backbone of backs. And we are tired of having our rights diluted and dominionated and and overdrawn and underwhelmed. And we would like to know, what is it now that everyone is just trying to get to us and fight us and take everything away, even everything we've worked so hard for? What will your administration do to fight for the rights of women?
Okay, so at this point, Biden shut the game down and dropped the mic on the debate.
Yeah.
So listen closely, because though what he says is exciting, the delivery is a tad sleepy. Okay. At this point, he's tired. He's tie.
President Biden. Will respond to that?
Please.
Yes. Thank you. Number one, I agree with the question, the underlying premise of Amy's question.
Oh, Amy.
Number one, I committed that if I'm elected president, have an opportunity to appoint someone to the courts, I'll appoint the first black woman to the courts.
Mic drop one.
Required that they have representation now. It's long overdue. Secondly, if I'm elected president, my cabinet, my administration will look like the country. And I commit that I will, in fact, pick a woman to be vice president. There are a number of women who are qualified to be president tomorrow. I would pick a woman to be my vice president.
Mic drop two.
Number three, I'm the guy that wrote the domestic violence
law. At this point, we're like, domestic violence, domestic violence. Tell us who your vice president is now. You're late, bitch.
Period. They should not be able to own a gun. I would get the boyfriend exception amended. Now I've
like, yeah. Fucking abuse. I'm getting abused.
Stay away order from a court.
Who? Is it Kamala? Is it Kiki? It's Elizabeth Warren. Who is
Lila?
No one should be able to own a gun who has abused a woman. Period.
Nice.
Mr. Vice President, if I could just follow up. Just to be clear, you just committed here tonight that your running mate, if you get the nomination, will be a woman?
Yes.
Fucking Dana Bash, like,
did you guys hear?
Jake Tapper's like, no, because I'm falling asleep too. And every woman's like, I heard. I'm used to listening to a tired man who mumbles and doesn't care. Like, how is that? How did you not lead off with that, brah? Even he's like, fuck coronavirus. I'm appointing a black woman to this fucking Supreme Court the minute I fucking get in there. Mm. And the person with me is going to be a woman. Mm. And good night. Good luck with the coronavirus. And good luck to you, Bernie. So at that point, we didn't give no fucks about
debate over.
Exactly. We were like,
debate over. Don't care about immigration. Don't care about schmigmigration. Don't care about dictators, authoritarians.
Nope.
None of it matters.
Don't care about democratic socialism.
Nope.
So really all we cared about was this. What you going to do, Bernie?
Senator, just to be clear, the vice president committed to picking a woman as his running mate. If you get the nomination, will you?
In all likelihood, I will. For me, it's not just nominating a woman. It is making sure that we have a progressive woman, and there are progressive women out there. My very strong tendency is to move in that direction.
Okay. He didn't know really how to get out of that, because it's like, okay, well, what he wanted to say, it's not just about nominating a woman. It's about having someone go with me that shares my same views. But it's like, there's women that share your views. Mm-hmm. There was, until you fucking got with Joe Rogan and pissed off AOC. But there were, not that she couldn't even do it anyway because she's too young, but there are plenty of women that are progressive. But, you know, I think, and I think he said in all likelihood, and I believe him, but I think he's going to get fucked again. And I feel for him, and I feel for his fans and his supporters. And I really do, because I know how sucky and depressed life has been for us since Elizabeth Warren. So what I say to his supporters who are listening, who get mad at everything we say, I say he should announce who his running mate is, and that's the only way that he could really just fucking
skyrocket ahead.
Yeah, he could take all the rest of the states if he, you know, if he moved the needle in that way and did something groundbreaking. And he really has nothing to lose. Until that moment when Joe Biden said he would take a woman. Because number one, if it's JoJo and Kiki, I made that motherfucking call. Like, I was literally the first person to ever do it. I will fucking have it be my ringtone. I will make it the beginning of this podcast. There will not be a soul on earth that doesn't know that I was the first one. But I really like the feeling that left my body and my life when Elizabeth Warren dropped out returned when he said that, because I was just like, what it feels like to be part of a fucking marginalized group that fucking isn't cared about. And I don't like that feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, ew.
Well, if he doesn't choose Lily and he chooses Kiki, which I think he's going to choose Kiki.
I really do want him. I want him to choose Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah,
I do.
Well, that would be amazing, because he would go one term and then she'd go one term. She's certainly young enough.
Yeah. Or they both go one term and then we get fucking Kiki in there.
Imagine if she goes, he goes one term, she goes one term, and then she takes Kiki as her VP.
Oh, God. Amazing. Imagine.
Let your poise enjoy that.
Now it's time for So There's That. This is the part of the show where I give Julie the task of finding something going on in the world that doesn't completely fucking suck. Finding a So There's That is never easy for her, and she always hates doing it, but this week has got to be off the chain. I mean, what in God's name is there to So There's That about during a global pandemic?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Just kidding. Now, I know I say this every week, but wow. Wow. Corona bit us.
Well, after this week, after all my lecturing and proselytizing, your So There's That is going to be, it brought all of us together. It brought all of us together.
Right.
We were all, realized that we're all human beings, and all of us poor people are all of us broke people and poor people are all actually connected.
Right.
And it's the man that we're mad at, and the government that we're mad at, and rich people that we're mad at.
If only the people online at the gun store would have told me that, we could have
oh my God, together. Connected.
Oh well, but we couldn't, because all they saw was a dyke against their guns. Well, what the actual fuck? From social distancing to distant socialing, from stupid fuckface Mike Pence and Mitch McConnell telling the Senate to go home because we just can't vote on emergency stuff right now. Like, what does Mitch McConnell have to do? He needs to get home and forage through the cocaine that's on his wife's cargo company.
I need to do that, too. And also, you're already dying, time Mitch McConnell.
Time is a ticking. Well, I found something I cannot believe. And the shit brought a literal tear to my dry eye. And that instantly wiped away with a baby wipe
instantly.
And put in a plastic bag and burned over a fire of uranium chips so that I wouldn't get coronavirus.
Yeah, don't put your corona-y tear all over things.
I won't. Don't worry. Here's the headline. NBA players are donating money to cover salaries of hourly workers amid suspended season.
What? Oh, my God.
Could you just? Now, I'm not an NBA fan or a watcher of sports, but this is fucking touching as fuck. These are just young, dumb rapists. Just kidding. Stop it. Stop it. Just kidding. I'm sure it's just date rape. Stop it.
It is. Come on. It is most likely. It's like, come it on. Is just date rape.
It's just coercion. Just the usual, right, ladies? Come on, you know what I'm talking about. Am I right, Kobe Bryant? Come on, is it too soon? Read up on it. Seriously, though. Okay. Basically, the NBA had to suspend all games in arenas because we can't congregate or be near each other, or we will get a really bad cold that will kill our parents. And possibly me, due to my past of smoking and excessive drug use. But these guys are young and healthy and have been raised right. Now, I was happy to see that in addition to individual young men, there are full leagues donating money, including the Golden State Warriors.
Of course.
You'll be happy to hear.
California, baby.
They put out a press release saying they will be donating $1 million to the workers affected by their shutdown. And Mark Cuban, the like 10th richest man on the planet, is who's going to be paying the Maverick workers' salaries. Now, these are huge conglomerates.
Like Mark Cuban put some dye in his hair, got his hairline move forward, and was like, okay, I'll do it. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling cute. I just invested in some stuff in Shark Tank.
Yep.
Ready to rock. It honestly, I don't know if you guys, Julie buried the lead, but obviously the NBA shutting down is unprecedented in the history of this country. It is fucking crazy. And tons of people lost money, but particularly, and like were the shift workers that work at those games and concession stand people.
Right. And that's who I'm talking about when they're talking about the workers. It's so then everyone who works in the arenas.
Yeah.
I thought that's really fucking generous. Now, what was really touching above and beyond, because these are some like this is a conglomerate. Mark Cuban is hugely rich. There was a New Orleans woman who owns half of New Orleans who's giving $1 million. Like these are absorbently rich people. Right. But which is very touching and everything. But it's the individual players, the young men who pledged and donated their own money. And these, I'm talking about young 19, 20, 21-year-olds.
Well, you texted me that the rookie on New Orleans, which is Zion, who was the number one draft pick. So he did get a huge, huge, huge contract. Mm-hmm. But he immediately got injured. But this guy, I got to show him to Julie now because I don't think she knows, but he's enormous and he's so young. So he almost looks fluffy. He's huge. Like you're like, is he like cute and chubby? I'm not sure. Is he buff? And then he goes so high, like Michael Jordan, except it's fluffy flying through the air. It's so cute. It's fucking adorable. And the fact that I can't believe it. He's 19 years old.
I saw one picture of him, but I didn't realize he was so enormous.
Yeah.
So there are a few different players, and it was just really nice to see these guys being so generous and empathetic. So there were three major ones. A Milwaukee Buck named Giannis Antetokounmpo. He said, it's bigger than basketball, and during this tough time, I want to help.
He's the one that got coronavirus.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he's the one in the NBA that got coronavirus.
So he goes, it's bigger than basketball. And during this tough time, I want to help the people that make my life, my family's lives, and my teammates' lives easier. Me and my family pledged to donate $100,000 to the Pfizer forum staff. We can get through this together.
So he probably feels like it's his fault.
Probably. So that's in Milwaukee. So then there was also a Detroit Piston named Blake Griffin who pledged to give $100,000.
Blake Griffin dated Kylie Jenner for a bit. I think it's cute how you don't know any of these people, man.
So, and then they all tweet each other and like, yo, bro, I'm going to give 100 too. Yeah, man, that's the right thing to do. 100. It's just like bros broing out and fucking dicks and balls around with their money. But they're trying to be cool. You know, it's like, yeah, that's the right thing to do, my bro. You know what I mean? Like that. Then there's Zion. So he pledged to pay all of the Smoothie King employees at the New Orleans arena salaries for the next month. And like you said, he's 19 and he was drafted last June. And to be so young and empathetic really did bring a tear to my eye and make me feel like a total loser, by the way. But his commitment and generosity during this time where people's fears and panic is bringing the worst out in a mob mentality to the point where we're going to have to wipe our assholes, apparently, with the dog. Because
not anymore, because I changed everyone's minds, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
We're going to start being into it and not looking around like, and don't even assume there's a mob mentality, because you've only seen it on fucking Facebook, you guys. You haven't seen it. And Julie's like, people are fighting in grocery stores. I go, have you seen that? And she's like, only online.
The fact that rather than have fear and panic and
I'm going to hold on to my money or whatever.
And right. And hoard and go and get all the, go bring your assistant to get you all the toilet paper. What you did was give money to these people who, you know, really need it and are probably suffering beyond you could even imagine, you know? So he showed that with some faith and empathy and generosity, we can actually help each other and not force each other to shit on ourselves. So there's that. So that's it for this episode of Dumb Gay Politics.
Thank you to the five people who listen all the way to the end of this shit. We want to urge all five of you, that's why nobody sticks around, to sign up for our Patreon podcast if you haven't already. It's $1 for 1 hour long podcast and $2 for 2 hour long podcast. We do that every week.
And this is the perfect time to try it. Every fucking show is affected by the coronavirus except our Patreon. It's the same random bullshit. If you're bored and you want to see what it's like, go to patreon.com/dumbgaypolitics and scroll down to the September 11th episode. It's the 9/11 episode, you guys. It's free and unlocked. All you have to do is press play and listen to our dumb gayness, and we promise you're gonna love it.
And as always, it's been real and it's been fun.
But mostly it's been gay and it's been dumb.
And virusy.
And long.
My corona.
How'd you do? I see you've met my faithful hand in hand. He's just a little brought down because when you knocked, he thought you were the candy man. Don't get strung up by the way I look. Don't judge a book by its cover. I'm not much of a man by the light of day, but by night I'm one hell of a lover. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Let me show you a rhyme and maybe play you a sign. You look like you're both pretty groovy. Or if you want something visual that's not too abysmal, we could take in an old Steve Reeves movie.
I'm glad we caught you at home. Could we use your phone? We're both in a bit of a hurry.
Right.
We'll just say where we are, then go back to the car. We don't want to be any worry.
Well, you got caught with a flat wheel. How about that? Well, babies, don't you panic. By the light of the night, it'll all seem all right. I'll get you a satanic mechanic. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Why don't you stay for the night?
Night.
Or maybe a bite.
Bite.
I could show you my favorite obsession. I've been making a man with blonde hair and a tan, and he's good for relieving my tension. I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual Transylvania. Hey, I'm just a sweet transvestite from transsexual
Transylvania. Bye-bye. So, come up to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with anticipation. But maybe the rain is really to blame. So I'll remove the cause. But not the symptom.